Well, I call this meeting to order. And where it's not a regular meeting. So the information we have will adjourn into a closed session too. So I will entertain a motion.
Do we, can I ask first, do we need to maybe discuss the COVID things going on?
Sure, we can do that first. I think that's a good idea.
Because I see Mr. Pappas is on, so I have a couple questions for him specifically.
Absolutely.
About this and where we are. I'm sorry, let me mute my phone. Hello, Mr. Pappas. Happy New Year to you. I wanted to ask where we are. I did receive the emails. I'm trying to read them as I get them. But just had a couple questions as far as testing. I see it was over 1,000 students or close to 1,000 students and staff. Do we know, how many staff actually got tested in the building? And do we also have outside testing numbers?
The outside testing numbers, we do not have. The in the building testing numbers for staff was 196.
And what's our staffing count right now?
Depending on the day, somewhere between 220 to 250, close to 225. So there's part-time staffers that are coming in and out, but it's about 225, I'd say, on average.
Okay. Our positive rate amongst those 196?
It's, we from the 196 that we tested, we only had five or six positive cases, as I recall.
Do we know what buildings those educators are in? Are they educators or are they across the board? That's the other question.
It's across the board. I don't have that information quite yet. Okay. I think overall, we're still trying to get numbers also from people that are self-reporting from outside and students that are self-reporting or that got it over the break and are in the different phases of return. And those people obviously are not eligible to test anymore. So because they already had, they already have COVID. So that data is not really available to us. So the cross section of the 1,000 that we have is basically, you know, a sampling size of about half of our population.
I'm sure this data is probably not yet available. How many families have reported their students? We don't have that data either, right?
We don't have that yet. The nurses are trying to get all this information in as fast as they can. It's a huge undertaking.
Hold on, I'm sorry.
So, but should we assume that the number of students that did not show up for testing, among that number, perhaps a large percentage were positive and that's why they didn't come to test?
I don't know if that's some of them probably already had it. So, but I can't tell you the numbers on that. It's really, really hard to do that at this time. There's so many, when they're reporting themselves and they're turning the test and they're turning it to the nurse and they're backlogged. I don't have that kind of information at this time. We probably wouldn't have all that information until Tuesday, because that's when we'll be able to get through the testing for all of the buildings.
So the 4% that was sent out, that reflected only the number of tests done by Quidel at the school, correct?
Yes.
So the actual percentage is not 4%.
We don't have that number.
It's possibly considerably higher.
Could be, could not be. I don't have the number at all. Especially on the student end, we just don't have that information yet.
There's no reason to assume it's high. There's no reason to assume it's high.
I'm not assuming, Paul. I mean, we have received letters from parents who are telling us my child has COVID, right? And they didn't come to test. So, I mean, it's a fair logical assumption that those who were ill at home, they didn't come to school to test. I think we have to come up with a number that reflects all of those, the Quidel and the others.
Yeah, I agree.
There are probably some who were ill and didn't come in. I will say I didn't bring my kids in because I heard there was a long line and we tested elsewhere. So there are probably families. I don't think we can assume that every person or most people who didn't come in are positive. I totally hear you though. I'm sure there are some who are positive and there are probably some who are negative who didn't come in.
Right. I don't think it's most, but there are many. I talked to one of the nurses right before the meeting. She told me she had 50 mails that she had not opened yet. And most of them that she was opening were, my child is positive, my child is positive. So I just want to be cautious. It's not 4% that we are talking about, right? 4% is the Quidel tests. I want to clarify that one.
Yeah, 4% is the data that we have in right now. It could be higher. The good news is that about that particular part is the ones that are self-testing or self-reporting to us, well, they're obviously not coming to school. So the people that we tested, the sampling that we have is basically a sampling of half the people that would be in the building. And the ones that were positive in that are also weeded out. So at least we know that half of the people that are coming in already are going to be COVID negative. And then, like we said, we have testing set up for tomorrow, the next day, Monday and Tuesday. So by the end of Tuesday, we'll know the impact specifically on the community.
Okay. So with this, with us coming back in, there were a lot of families who reached out about virtual options for families whose children may be positive, maybe positive asymptomatic, may have to quarantine, like my own child, because I have it. What are we able to do for those children as far as some sort of virtual option? As we know, we are just going, this is not going away. So we have to have, like we had parents say that they didn't have technology, and where are we with that? Because I thought we had one-to-one technology out. That's what you reported maybe two meetings ago.
We do have one-to-one technology, but not everybody has it out. Some of it, especially the lower grades, they have it in the building. So, but it's that the technology, getting the technology out to students is not a large goal for us to overcome. We would be able to send technology out if we needed to in an emergency using our transportation system within one day. There is one-to-one technology available for students.
But everybody just doesn't have theirs, is what you're saying.
Yeah, not the lower school. Not everybody has them.
Do we have the ability for the parents to stop in and pick up the technology, or would we put together a delivery plan, or would it be case by case?
We could do either one.
Okay.
It's also, you know, we did contact many, many schools, both public and private, and, you know, we're doing a significant amount more testing than most of the schools that already brought kids back. We're definitely not taking this lightly. And we sat all day today to come up with new mitigation strategies to keep the kids further apart, to limit the amount of time that they're having lunch, specifically eating lunch, and they're unmasked, keep them further apart in that situation as well, move the desks further apart in every situation that we can. We took the gym away and we made it into another cafeteria to add even more space during that time as well. And obviously we're the number one thing is to make sure that we are all masked up and they stay on and they stay up. That's kind of where we are right now. And like I said, we'll have a better idea on Tuesday.
So on Tuesday we have a very high number of students that need to be out and continue to be out, where are we with being able to go into some sort of virtual or hybrid option with for our families who are concerned, nervous, because we have to think more than just about the students that get to stay home because they are, but there's also families like my own who my child cannot come into school. Now she's doing everything asynchronous, pulling off work and everything else. What are we going to do for these children? Because she's essentially going to probably miss, I know definitely the rest of this weekend, depending on how we come about, she'll miss probably next week too. And we're in the midst of but coming up on finals and everything else. Like, where are we with being able to offer a better option than some packets or some asynchronous work where she then has to catch up with her teachers? This is unacceptable for families. We got to give some better options.
We have the ability to, add more virtual options. And we would be able to go virtual very, very quickly. We still have our Zoom accounts. We still have the one-to-one technology. So we can do that. And obviously, we have been able to do that in the past and executed quite well. The grade level that would have the most difficulty would be the kindergarten, who has not used the virtual options before and has very limited exposure to technology. So that's kind of where we are in terms of offering a virtual option, which basically essentially means that we're going back to a hybrid model. Logistically, it would require us to put those little microphones back in the rooms or whatever, but that wouldn't take very much time either.
I'm not sure how the rest of the board feels, but I personally feel like that is something that we need to be exploring for families that are interested in those options at this point with the surge in these numbers. Because I know, like I said, personally, what we're going to deal with for the next 2 weeks, my child's going to miss school. There's just not anything I can do about that per DPH, right? So I'm sure I'm not the only family that has that concern. We've gotten those emails that said that. But I would like to see us offering some better options for families at this point. I'm sorry.
I guess I have a question. I agree, Helen, 100% that there's a deep need to have some sort of better solution for kids than just packets, even when most of the school is in person. I guess I am curious, logistically, how we might execute that from a feasibility standpoint. I know we're not overstaffed as it is, and I just wonder, Elias, if you could maybe just talk about what work you guys have done thinking through that and how it might be feasible, if it's feasible, when it might be feasible, just maybe expand a little bit. That would be helpful for me.
Sure. I mean, we absolutely have the capability to do this. We do know that it is of the instructional models, especially in the K-5, the worst of the instructional models is the hybrid model, because of the fact that the teacher has to manage students both on the screen and in the classroom at the same time. We saw what that looked like. We know it is not a good model. However, I have also spoken to the team specifically about the fact that this would be something that we would be looking at potentially because of a surge, not because it's our philosophy on education. We all understand, and I believe that most of us agree, that the best way for kids to learn is in the classroom with their teachers. However, in a very tenuous time that we're in, all options must and should be on the table. And if a hybrid model in the short term is something that we come up with as the pathway forward, then so be it, with the understanding that it's not going to become a crux moving forward. We have to get the kids back in the classroom. They have to learn with their teachers. But I understand, I resonate, and I feel the same concern for our students that the parents are explaining, and I have it for my own kids as well, whose schools are not offering anything of the sorts. Have the logistics been talked about? Yes. Even with our tech department, yes. Do we know what we need to do that? Yes. Would we be able to do that in a very short turnaround? Yes. I think the area where I would be most, that I would emphasize the most is that it's not a sustainable model. It's something that we can do in the short term for a couple to get by. But if we're suggesting that we should have virtual options for this semester, that is something that is not a best practice, and it doesn't align with what, you know, all educational, you know, philosophies are saying and what almost all the districts are doing.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not asking long term. Although I wonder, given, and I'm not the only person, so my ask is short term. Is the hybrid model where the same teacher is Zoom and in person the only way to come about this? Or should we do a survey and find out how many families are wanting to go? Is there a different way where you have one teacher who's teaching kindergarten and first or something like that? I'm just asking because I think that model that you just described actually makes it worse. And I think you understand this, which is why you don't want to go this route necessarily, makes it worse for the kids who are in person as well. It sort of devalues the education for everyone in order to give a little bit more in person for folks at home. So is that the only way we could do this, or are there other models that on the short term we could limp through with?
The staffing would be the number one issue for changing to a different model. For example, if you did something along the lines of having a specific virtual and an in-person, the staffing would be an enormous challenge at this time. Which is why when we looked at that, we said, well, we can barely get things working right now the way that we are. We're not in a position to be able to do that at this time. It is also my understanding from what I've read with the literature and the calls that I've been on that the expected peak for the Omicron variant is the end of next week, which does put us in a position where we can look at this thing on a two-week basis and then take it from there. In terms of looking at other potential models that would have a virtual option to them, we would need more time to flush out exactly how else we could do it in a way that would make sense and logistically would work. So I would say, like, in the shortest term, maybe in the next 2 weeks, if this is something that we would decide to do, we would probably have to go with hybrid to start, and then then see what else we can come up with as we brainstorm through more solutions. We wouldn't be prepared to just kind of pick up and start a new educational model, you know, in a short.
And I think I missed this, but just to clarify or confirm, what are other local districts, just for perspective, other charters, local districts doing, to Helen's point, for families who, whether schools open, but families would prefer to be virtual, or what are others offering?
Well, some schools have decided to go completely virtual.
Right.
Until the end of the month. And I don't think that's a coincidence. I think they picked that date on purpose.
Right.
Which makes sense to me. I can't give you the exact data on all of the schools and what all everyone's doing, because it is a little bit different. Certain districts are doing nothing. They're just saying come back to school,
right?
And as far as I know, with the exception of one, I think all elementary schools are open.
Okay.
And I've been in person, and I haven't heard about like a virtual option. I just haven't heard it. Maybe it's there, but I haven't been.
Many districts have virtual options. Many of the districts, some have a whole, one has a whole virtual academy. Many of them had virtual options from the beginning. So it's not just because of the surge. Some of them already had that as an option. However, due to the surge, there are a lot of schools that have had to close because staffing has become the concern. So there are some schools that it's just because they don't have the staff to cover it. That is why they had to go virtual. So there are a lot of different reasons why people are doing most of it is because they don't have the staff to cover in the building. But there are a lot of districts that have given families some options, have given some different ways. Some have been just kids get to Zoom in. Unfortunately, they don't get to talk to their teachers until the office hours, but they get to at least hear the teacher teach the lesson and see the teacher teach the lesson. So there's a lot of different things that are happening across the state when it comes to it. So there's ways to do this. I'm just, you know, because I'm personally impacted by this, and we've gotten so many families asking this question and putting it out there that's why I'm asking, kind of pushing this point a little bit.
Does anyone else have any questions? Mr. Pappas, do you have anything else you wanted to offer?
I can't really think of anything else right now that would really, you know, assist in this, because we don't have all of the data yet. We don't have the staff in yet. We haven't seen this play out. So we gotta see what this looks like, and obviously look at what we can do in the short term to make sure that we keep things as safe as possible within our schools. And if that does mean that we have to, like what Helen said, Zoom kids in, which, you know, that just means they're going to be listening to the lesson. I don't know what they're, you know, the parent will have to be there as well to support in that instance. We will do that in the short term. It's just DPH hasn't been very helpful with the way that they've come about their decision making to make virtual options a little bit better. For example, families are still having to go to work. There's a lot of families that reached out to me and said, I cannot have the kids at home at all. Like, they have to come to school because I don't have childcare and my boss is not offering anything for us right now. And all of those kind of COVID benefits have gone away. So I'm hearing all of these things. I'm hearing the concerns about COVID itself. I'm hearing the concerns about, well, we don't have childcare and we don't have options and the kids need to go to school. And so, that's what makes it so difficult to come up with a solution that kind of is able to serve everybody's needs in this particular instance.
Thank you. Anyone else? Any other questions? Comments? Any other points of discussion that you wanted to bring up tonight? For public? Okay, then I will entertain a motion to go into executive session.
I move to go into executive session.
All right. I second.
Thank you. Ken, you will move us. All in favor? Aye.
Aye. Actually, Helen, can you move us? Because you're better at it.
Okay, Paul and Ken are together.
Yep.
No decisions were made in executive session. No votes were taken. Any other business? Any other business? Any other business?
No. Nope.
Any motions?
I motion to adjourn or move to adjourn.
Second. Motion, any vote? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay, until we meet again.